are.
Ooh, hello and welcome to the Hooniverse Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker. This is a solo episode. Originally, I was planning on recording this while in Nashville to drive the 2023 Toyota Crown, but there was a tornado when I got to my hotel, and we lost power twice, and then I just had a bunch of other work to do, and I wasn't able to record then, but I've got all the questions saved, so we're going to go through those today, and then I'll record later this week with Ron for another episode, so we'll get cranking on that stuff. Now, I can't tell you how the Crown drives yet, because there's an embargo, which won't be up by the time this is up. I can't go into more detail, so I'm just going to stop there, and I'll let you guys figure out what you think about it. Let me just say one thing. I can't say anything. It'll give it away. This episode, I'm going to wait to talk about lemons and Land Rover Trek with Ron, because those are good things to talk about with another person. So for tonight, because we have a good amount of questions, I'm just going to dive right into questions. And we can go from there. So let's start with Twitter. Matthew at Plays with Cars asks, have you ever visited the Lane Motor facility yet? Also asks, how many bachelorette parties have you seen so far? What kind of party bus trailer would Hooniverse build for downtown Nashville? And what's your hotel room strategy, high floor or low floor? I have never been to the Lane Motor facility. I'd love to go. It looks absolutely amazing with some really great cars on display. So I saw no bachelorette parties, and if I was going to build a bus or trailer, for downtown Nashville, I'd want something, if the weather was right, that you could do has anybody ever jollied an RV? So the Fiat Jolly of RVs where, you know, you have a fabric roof so you can have some kind of cover protection from any potential weather, but the sides are open because it's Nashville and you're going to want to hear the amazing music that's playing out of every street corner there is in Nashville. So build something like cut the sides off of a school bus or something like that. And then for hotel room strategy, I don't pick my hotel rooms. When I go on these press trips, they hand you a key. They say, this is your room, room number, blah, blah, blah. I don't love heights, so I don't like balconies and stuff like that. It just freaks me out a little bit. Windows doesn't bother me, but honestly, if I was in some skyscraper hotel in New York on a really high floor, it would be freaking me out the entire time I was in the room. So I prefer low hotel floors. Yeah. Chad Kirshner asks, is Nashville Vegas 2.0? I mean, for the party atmosphere, kind of, yeah. I mean, nothing, Vegas is still Vegas. So, you know, some of the, I am not going to go out of my way to go to Vegas, but if I'm on a trip to Vegas, there's, you know, there are some amazing restaurants there and then you can have some fun. It's not like a place I'd plan to go, but if I'm going for business, I'm not upset. That dude Pasha asks, after your last Mexico trip, do you see yourself doing any Baja Broverlanding? I've been invited and I would love to go. The problem is the trip I got invited on is 11 days, which would be absolutely amazing, but I just can't be away for that long. I have stuff to do. I have family responsibilities to take care of. And as awesome as that would be, I cannot be gone that long. I would like to take the Montero down there and do some wheeling. But I don't have any trips to do so soon. I gotta do more Broverlanding in the Montero as it is, no matter where it is. But Baja would be awesome. But I don't know. No plans at the moment. Chasing Sticks at Chasing Sticks asks, Fiero or MR2? I never loved the Fiero. I had a friend who loved the Fieros. He's still a friend. He still loves Fieros. But for some reason, I just never cared for it. And then the Mr. 2 is an interesting machine. Mid-engine stuff never grabbed me when I was younger, affordable mid-engine stuff. So I never really thought about either. I just knew I didn't like the Fiero, and I never really thought about the MR2 because I wanted the 300ZX I wanted front engine, rear wheel drive. So if I was picking one, I think I like the way the Fiero looks a bit more now that I've gotten older compared to the MR2, but I think both of them are neat and it'd be fun to try to drive either one now that I'm older and would be more curious to try them. Steve Edwards at MT underscore drift. Who is on the best overall design tear and why is it Volvo or maybe Hyundai? I can't decide. I think Kia is doing a better job design wise than Hyundai, even though they're sister companies, but I like the Kia designs a bit more than the Hyundai designs. The Hyundai ones are good too. But yeah, Volvos are just super clean, including Polestar, super clean, good, simple design aesthetics. It's I think Hyundai, Kia, and then add Genesis into the mix because in exterior design and interior design, they're doing amazing stuff. Literally today, right before I started recording this, the Genesis GV60 showed up, and the interior on that is crazy. I had to put my fingerprint in it, and then I had to do like a visual thing because it has all these different ways of unlocking the vehicle. So that was really interesting. See how it drives. I mean, the interior is such, it's fresh. Genesis design interiors are fresh on the inside. The exteriors look distinct. They're crushing it. Peter underscore M underscore V. It's 2042. Which brands are selling the most cars to mainstream consumers? What is the form factor for the most popular mainstream segment? I mean, I don't see the idea of a crossover going away anytime soon, but I think crossovers will slowly morph to, I mean, I hope this isn't the case, and maybe that'd be even further into to the future, but yeah, by 2042, it'll still be like just real shapely crossovers without grills because more of them will be electric and stuff like that. As for the brand selling the most cars to mainstream consumers, I mean, it like Ford on one hand and then Hyundai Kia on another. That's a good question. Who will anybody die off by 2042? Which automaker won't be around? Might be a good thing to look at. But I mean, Ford's always going to sell a ton of cars just because people will still need pickup trucks. And then, yeah, I mean, the luxury brands will always be the luxury brands, you would think. So I don't know. I mean, Toyota isn't going anywhere. Toyota's a juggernaut and they're going to continue to evolve their stuff. So I'd have to say Hyundai, Kia are going to really continue to ratchet stuff up. And then Ford on the other side. But I don't see crossover popularity dimming anytime soon because the vehicles are going to get heavier and you can hide the mass a bit more in a crossover than you can in a sedan. So I think that makes the most sense for that direction. Dante Caselli at Caselli underscore Dante. Which 25-year-old European car would you import for 40K? That is a very good question. It's probably way more than 40K, but what was that sedan? The Lotus Carlton? I'm going to Google that real quick because that's got to go for way more, right? Than 40K. Let's see if we can find one for sale live as we're doing this. So I found one on classic.com. Oh, it says zero for sale. Let's see. Oh, one. Okay. So, like one sold for £49,000. Another one was bid up to 56 on Bring a Trailer a few months back. Ooh, that was in Florida. Wow. And it's a left-hand drive car, too. What is going on there? How did I miss that? One sold a year ago at Bonhams for £36,000. So, if I could find one that's like just okay, maybe theoretically I could do. An imported Carlton, but this one was a no sale on Bring a Trailer in June of this year for $56,000. About 70,000 miles on it. It's number 548 of 950 produced, but I spent time in France and Poland. But I thought these were all right-hand drive, but clearly that is not the case. And I wish I knew why. Regardless, this thing looks awesome. So I think this would be a cool thing to import. And also, I think a lot of people would have no idea what it was. They would just think it was a basic sedan. And then the people who did know would be like, holy crap. So that would be cool. John Osborne at John_Osborne asks, what EV have you driven with the most involving emotional driving experience? Any of the Porsche EVs still feel very much like Porsches and are truly wonderful things to drive. So as far as like actually involving an emotional, I would say a Porsche, because when you're pushing it, you're hustling it and it feels good and it's comfortable and it just, Porsches fit perfectly when you're doing higher speed stuff. So that's got to be, that's got to be my answer. Any of the electrified Porsche stuff is where it's at. Team Radar Love, how many subscribers would we need to get your YouTube channel to in order to get a remake of the Scotland episode, which I don't think that will ever happen again. For those of you who haven't listened, go back and find it. I have no idea what episode number it is. That's, you'd have to double the channel and maybe, because I'm at almost 50,000 on the regular Hooniverse YouTube channel, and it's been at that number for like what feels like 2 years, because I don't have the time to be able to put in the effort to grow the channel correctly. But I mean, someday I'd like to have it at 100,000. That's kind of a pretty big mark. And I think the required work to get it there is just that. It's a lot of work. The people who put in the time and the effort and crank out their channels, it's much more work than you might think. Or maybe you get it. And then the Straight Pipes asks, Prowler or SSR? Neither. If I had to pick one, I'm taking the SSR because it's actually a V8. But the idea of a convertible pickup truck, like with, I don't know, that whole setup is ridiculous. And then I've never loved the Prowler. I hate that it had the smaller engine in it. Some like Art Deco-ish retro inspired styling. Like, I get it at the time, design wise, it was really something different and something neat. And I fully give it the credit for that. But I've never warmed up to it. I would like to try to drive one just to say I've driven one. But if I'm picking SSR because I want the V8, even though it is most likely absolutely useless as a pickup truck. So, but yeah, that's where I would go with that one. I know you're probably going Prowler, but whatever. Instagram questions. P. McDonald Insta. What fried chicken joint will you hit up in Nashville? I should have. I didn't. We had, you know, planned set dinners and all that stuff. And I should have broken away one of the nights and gone and found some really good food. But I was tired. So I didn't do that. A younger Jeff might have ventured off and spent a whole night out. But 42-year-old Jeff does that a lot less. Cooley156. You have a shitty time machine that only goes back 4 years. What car trend do you exploit? Originally, I was going to be way ahead of the curve on the safariing of things, but that project is still sitting without an engine. So that, I can't do that. To go back 4 years, I don't think is enough time to exploit a car, though I could be wrong about that. I guess I would, what I would do is I would like buy into an overland company because that market has exploded. And I mean, I'm one of the people who's involved in that or not involved, enjoys that space. So yeah, I would have gone back and like invested in Go Fast Campers or something 4 years ago, or stocked up on off-road tires and gearing kits for Tacomas and just made overland blankets and you know, fridges and whatever. So yeah, that's the one I would go in my shitty time machine. Mein Kaffeeklatsch asks, if you could make any one type of car mod become a new fad, what would it be? That's a good question there. How about, I'd like to bring back more visible blowers or scoops sticking out of hoods. So I would like that to come back because I think that looks badass, even on the most ridiculous car. So let's bring back raised blower scoops. That's what I'm going with. Taylor356, how much better is In-N-Out than Shake Shack and Five Guys? I mean, I'm an In-N-Out person 100%. I think the fries are delicious. I don't know what those who hate the fries are talking about. They're fresh. They taste good. I love the burgers. I don't dislike Five Guys, but I think In-N-Out is better. And then Shake Shack, I thought was a huge disappointment. So sorry, Shake Shackers. Yeah. Pretty Cool Projects asks, when are you coming to Australia? I've wanted to go to Australia for years. My wife's been for work. If she has to go back for work anytime in the near future, we'll probably go with her. I have no plans to get to Australia, but I want to go to Australia. I want to go to New Zealand. I want to do all that stuff. Oddly enough, back when my father was still in the Navy, he was up for redeployment or whatever when you change your where you're stationed. I don't know if it's called redeployment. And one of the options was Sydney. And then he retired from the Navy, so we never went. But that would have been pretty amazing. The crazy thing is, though, like, I really, really, really don't like spiders, like arachnophobia level, don't like spiders. So I think I would literally have a heart attack the first time I see a huntsman or something like that. Like, I can deal with snakes. I actually like snakes. It's the spiders would kill me by doing nothing. It could be one in the corner of the room and I would friggin' die. Would David Tracy from formerly Jalopnik, now the Autopian, went there to do that crazy project in, I think, a Holden Ute, some sort of Ute, and he's showing the videos working in the garage of the various spiders. Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I saw those pictures. I was like, I'm out. I'm done. This is 100% no, 1,000% no. And no, thank you. But I do still, I still want to go to Australia. I've been to Costa Rica twice and I expected to have a bug heart attack down there. And I did not. You get used to it and you get better at dealing with it. And I love Costa Rica. That said, I can feel my stomach moving just saying the word huntsman. So I don't know. Anthony Day, 996s and 997s. Convertibles and autos are all that's affordable. Worth it? I wouldn't buy an automatic 911. Like, modern PDKs are fine, I guess. I don't know when they switched to PDKs. I don't know if that's a 997 thing. I think the 996s are still Tiptronic. If I'm buying a 911, I'm getting a manual gearbox. So I don't know. It's worth it for the fact that you could potentially flip it, but I don't want a convertible. That's not for me. I don't want an automatic. That's not for me. I would love a Targa. I don't care about the added weight hit or, you know, a coupe too, but yeah, the prices are, man, it sucks how expensive those cars have gotten, but what are you going to do? The market is gobbling them up. So I don't know. I don't know if the convertibles and the autos are worth it. And he put affordable in quotes too, which makes sense. Another question from Anthony, best cars to EV swap. I was going to EV swap my 100 horsepower Nova. Yeah. I mean, if you have it'd be cool to do it on like one of the unloved Novas. I still think some of the best cars are vintage Benzes because they would be massively improved without destroying the idea of the car. And then I think the giant American land yachts would be amazing EV swap candidates, Cadillacs, Lincolns, that sort of thing. So I think those are prime for some EV swaps. I still wish I could have EV swapped my W114 Benz. I think that would have been perfect for it. Would have made the car that much more enjoyable. It would have made an enjoyable car that much more enjoyable. And I would have really enjoyed it. I'm speaking in circles here. Anthony Day again, should California relax smog laws, annual mileage requirements, move the year from 75, et cetera. I wish we had rolling. I wish we had a 25 year rolling here. That would be really great and helpful. So I could do some of the stuff, that I'd like to do to the Montero. So I don't know, maybe once it'd be interesting to see once we hit 2035, if the EV sales requirement comes into effect, so theoretically more EVs would be coming on the road. If we could prove that not just scrapping some of these cars helps the environment, which is true, maybe at that point we switch to a rolling smog thing to keep some of these things going, because not everybody's going to be able to afford these EVs, though there's going to have to be incentives and rebates to bring the prices down so that the average consumer can buy an average EV and not spend $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 on these things. Or more, they need to be in the 20s. And there are some in the 20s, but there need to be more options in that space. And that's going to be very difficult to do. So yeah, maybe relaxing smog laws will mean that we don't sell new gas cars in California, but we keep some of the older ones alive and rolling. So I don't know. Daniel Robert DeRue, new M2 thoughts. I think performance-wise, it sounds amazing. I think the profile view is really good. I think the fender flares on it are awesome. Rear three quarters all right, but the back end is too stiff and creased. And then the nose, it's better than some recent BMW products. It's still hot garbage. I really don't like it. Like I said, it's better. The blue color that's available looks sick, Zandvoort blue. And then the red is awesome. The interior looks incredible. 6-speed manual gearbox is available. 15-inch front brake rotors on a car that small is wild with 6-piston calipers. Performance-wise, it sounds absolutely amazing and starts under 65, which I think for what it gives you is a heck of a deal, you know, relatively speaking. So I think that is, if you're inside it, you don't have to look at it. So maybe that's the place to be. And then that dude, Pasha, are you drinking bourbon? Well, in Tennessee, I had zero bourbon. I had some tequila, but I had zero bourbon. I guess I failed on this trip to Nashville, but I feel like I haven't been on a press trip in a while, so maybe I'm out of practice at jumping on the local customs. Either way, it was interesting, and like I said, I was there for the crown. Though I did hop into the new Highlander, they ditched the V6 and now you can get it with a 4-cylinder turbo, and people on the internet are like, oh, this is terrible. The V6 was probably so much better. I forget the torque increase, but it's this now the Highlander has 310 pound feet of torque and can tow 5,000 pounds. And people are still like, I'd rather take the V6, which I think it was like 260 torque or something. So it's a huge jump. I don't get why people are complaining. It's not like it's going to be some like buzzy, unrefined piece of crap engine in there. It felt good power for what it is. I mean, it's a very boring vehicle otherwise, but 310 pound feet of torque is pretty great. Basic ass Highlander, and I drove that one that's in that, you know, gorgeous green color that you can now get it in. So I don't know, I thought that was kind of funny. What's going on with my own fleet of stuff at the moment? Just wrote up about camping in the Montero at Lemons, which was great. Go read it on hooniverse.com. I just had this little thing behind me arrive in the mail that I'm going to test. This is the Dometic water jug, and I have the powered faucet that goes with it, so I am super stoked on that because I have become a basic bitch white boy who's all about the overlanding, and I can't get enough of this crap. So that's going to be fun. And then I've been driving the Jag a bit recently, and I do enjoy driving it. I'm still thinking about selling it, but I do have a plan to fully sort out what is going to happen with the smog situation. I might have an in with someone who handles this stuff, and they might be taking a look at the car to tell me what it does or what it needs, what it doesn't need, and what they think if it will or will not happen. So that would be very interesting. So stay tuned to learn more about that. And then a local high school auto shop is going to take a look at this car and use it to do some stuff too, which could be good for me, could be good for them, could be an absolute nightmare for them. So I don't know, because I think it's about time to do brakes on this. They probably haven't worked in a car with inboard rear brakes. I haven't. And so we'll see about that one. So I'll keep you posted on that as well. And that's where it sits on the fleet. I got a set of new Michelin Defender 2 tires that are going on the CX-5, my wife's car. And I'll report back on those, but I don't think there's anything that exciting. I'm debating whether or not to put them on wheels first and put wheels on the Montero, or not on the Montero, on the CX-5, which is kind of a dumb idea, but kind of fun at the same time. I mean, the thing has 90,000 miles now. It's, I don't know. Who knows? I'm yes and no on that one, back and forth. I really just got to get the tires on. I have a Super 73, another one coming in for review, the Roland Sands edition, which was a collab design-wise they did with him, which it just looks cooler. And it's on the RX, which is the higher line bike. So I should have that in here soon. Like I said, GV60 out front, so stay tuned for that. And I have a real charger in there now. And I'm going to talk about that one more soon as well, because that's nice to have in here. But that's where we go on the fleet. Sorry, it's a shorter episode, but you know how these solo episodes go. Rip through some questions. Can't talk about the crown. Otherwise, I would have made it longer. But I'll be recording another one this week. So I'll try to get two out this week as a makeup for not getting this one out last week. And the podcast t-shirt probably goes live at the same time as this episode. So through Blipshift, we did the first one that's Hooniverse podcast specific, where the design is the vintage Alpine with the green chiclets. So that comes out. If you're listening to this, it's out. So go to blipshift.com, find our partner stores. If you go to blipshift.com/Hooniverse, I think it brings you there, but you might have to click around to find that specific shirt. But that comes out on October 18th, depending on when I get this up, which I'm trying to get this up on October 18th. Go buy that if you feel like spending a few bucks and helping us out. We really appreciate it. And then I'll be back here with you later this week with my boy Ron, and we'll see you then. Bye.